So I dug into some of my old material. This little lesson that I had prepared, I had actually made back when I was a teenager, so that was getting back a little while ago now. But I read through it here real quick, and I think the message still holds true, so we'll take a look at it tonight. As we read for the scripture reading, we'll take a look at Matthew chapter 8, the first couple of verses this evening. I just want to draw some conclusions about this leper and his statement and Jesus' response to him. So we'll go ahead and read that again. Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 1. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So tonight I want to take a look at a few ideas from this passage. The first one is how the leper can represent us. In this story, I think that we are the leper. And then I want to look at, well, who is this man that can save us from this leprous state that we're in, and what should we do when we find this man? So, first off, we need to recognize that we are like the leper. We're all unclean, just as he was. Sin is in every one of our lives, as we all know from Romans 3:23, that tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We'll take a look at Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. So we see again that all have sinned. We're all guilty of this. We know from Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. So like the leper, we have this sickness, and this sickness will lead us to death. So we're wandering around and we're looking for someone for the power to fix us. So in the story of the leper, Jesus is walking down the street, and when he comes by, the leper recognizes that he is the man that can cure him of his ailment. I'm sure he's heard the stories of this teacher that's gone around all over the area healing people. So he yells out to him. He says, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." So like the leper, we must recognize that Jesus the Christ is the solution to our problems. He is the one that has the power to cleanse us of this ailment that we have. Luke 19:10 tells us that the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. It was the whole reason that he left heaven and came down to this earth, was to come and to seek and save the lost. We know that while he was here on earth, he performed healings to let people know that he was of God so that they could know to trust his message. But beyond that, he really came to give us what we needed and to sacrifice himself so that he could heal us from the permanent death and the afterlife, so that we could not go to hell but go to heaven with him. We see this all throughout the New Testament, especially in the Gospels. We even see in Matthew 8:29, 31, where the demons see that Jesus has power. He casts them into the pigs and they run off a cliff. So we know that even the demons know him and fear him and obey him. We need to recognize the power of the Son of God and come to him to heal us. So now we come to the part of the story where Jesus responds to this leper's plea to heal him. Now, to me, this is the part that I really like, and I don't know if I have a favorite verse, but for a long time I considered this my favorite verse, and it was because of this reply that Jesus gives. He tells the leper, he's God. He could have said anything that he wanted. He's not below anyone, so he could have replied however he wanted, but he told the man that he was willing, be cleansed. To me, this is very important to us. If he wasn't willing to do this, then we would have no help. We would have no hope of salvation. The fact that Jesus was willing to cleanse not only this man, but also us, is the whole reason that we're in this building today. He was willing to come down and to suffer and to ultimately sacrifice himself for our sins, even though he had none. Let's look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 14 and 15. It says, "Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all." So we see that Jesus spent much of his ministry under attack from various parties. Here, in this passage, it was the Pharisees that were trying to kill him. And I would say that for many of us, this would conquer our thoughts. We would spend most of the day paranoid about these people trying to plot against us and kill us. And we would be fleeing or trying to get as far away from these killers as we could. But even in a situation like this, the scripture tells us that Jesus healed them all. Not a single person was left unattended to. He healed everyone that came to him. Luke 23, starting in verse 40. This gives us the account of the cross, and specifically the criminal that was hanging on the cross with Jesus. So starting in verse 40 of Luke 23. "But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said to Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" Even the criminal on the cross beside Jesus recognized that he was the only one that could save him. And while Christ was enduring the horrible pain that the cross was designed to give, he still took the time to forgive even this criminal of his sins. Even though he was going through what he was going through, taking the weight of all the sin of the world on him at that time, he still took the time for this individual to listen to him and to forgive him of his sins. So we have a Savior who loved us so much, he would leave the comforts of heaven that we cannot even comprehend, come to this earth to be chased around, plotted against, and ultimately killed. But the whole time, all he was thinking about, all he was trying to do was teach and to heal people. So if he did all of this for us, we need to recognize what it is that we should do in return. If we love him, even a fraction of how much he loved us, we'll keep his commandments. As he himself told us in Luke 14, 15, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." So what are his commandments? Let's look at Matthew 22, starting in verse 37. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So if we work on these two commandments, all the rest will naturally fall into place. We have to love God above all else, and we have to love our neighbor. So as I wrap up tonight, just remember that God loved us so much that he sent his son to earth to die for us, and Jesus loved us so much that he agreed to come. So we need to live this week and every week for the rest of our lives following them. Love God, love your neighbor. Not only will this make God happy, but it will make your life better too. To close, I'd like to look at Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 37. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" So Peter had just given a sermon to these people and told them basically that they had just killed the Christ. And so they're convicted to their hearts. They're asking what they should do, that they had just committed this atrocity. Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. So if you're like the crowd from this passage and you want to know what you need to do to be saved, the answer is still the same. Tonight I talked about the leper that came to Jesus to be cleansed. He recognized that Jesus was the only one that can save him. If you have not yet come to Jesus, you are the leper. If you have been to Jesus, but you went back into the world and you've become dirty again, Jesus' answer is still the same as it has always been. I am willing, be cleansed. He came down to the world, endured the hardships, and then died so that tonight you would have the opportunity to free yourself from the bondage of sin. He's here waiting for you, and if you have any need at this time that we can help with, please come as we stand and sing.